Well, good morning. As the anthill settles back in, I hope you guys are having a good weekend so far. And in case you don't know this, I just want you to, I'm proclaiming today before us, God is alive. And God is speaking to us, and God is speaking through us. So I pray for you this morning that you will engage in what God is going to say to you, because He's going to say something to all of us this morning. Because He is not silent. The world may try to crowd out His voice, and there might be a lot of noise in your own life, but I got a feeling this morning I'm trusting the sovereignty of God to speak something dear to your heart that's dear to His heart. So let's pray. Father, we are here to honor You. Father, on our own, we should do that, but we have gathered collectively to do that. Father, as You will be speaking to us, I pray we'd engage that. We won't try to fight it off. We won't try to ignore it. God, You love us, so You're going to speak through Your love and into our hearts. May we connect deeply and intimately with You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue this morning. We've been in a series of messages. And the overview is basically we're on a journey. And this morning, as we're going to look at the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And we're going to do something a little different, so I'm giving you a heads up. We're going to read the entire chapter 6 of Daniel. It's not on the overhead, so start thumbing through those Bibles, get those electronic devices out, and pull up Daniel chapter 6. And this morning, as we're looking at the journey, I don't know about you guys, but when Kathy and I travel, like we're on our way to Kentucky, I have some unusual values that I'm looking for as I travel. One is, where are the places with clean bathrooms? Okay? Two, what are the exits that aren't really that busy? And three, typically where's the cheap gas, good coffee? Those are kind of some of my values as I'm traveling. And by the way, I really do know where all those things are between here and Kentucky. Cheapest gas, Tennessee. All right? Typically it's Tennessee. Some of the clean bathrooms, I have to give you exit numbers later. But those are things that I value as we travel. And we know in this life, we're traveling along a path that we desire to be God's path for us. But along this journey, I think there's sometimes a clash of what we value and what God values. And sometimes that creates a great tension in our lives. Well, this morning, as we look at the story of Daniel, as he is going to be placed before lions, I want to point out some of God's values that I think He has for us, that He desires for us to acknowledge this day. I could have probably come up with many, many more than I did this morning. But as we begin to read in Daniel chapter 6, quick reminder how we arrived in chapter 6 of Daniel. Daniel was a young boy in chapter 1, and some of his closest friends are plucked by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon because the Israelites had been disobedient. So the hand of judgment fell from God to use Nebuchadnezzar to execute some judgment on the Israelites. And so when Nebuchadnezzar shows up in Israel, he decides to take basically the cream of the crop. The people that were of nobility, that showed exquisite talents or qualities or traits. And one of those was a young man named Daniel. He's a teenager in chapter 1, 15, 17-ish, somewhere in there. And he is taken to the land of the Chaldeans. And he is raised up to be used by the king in this country. So at age 15 or 17, against his own will, he is taken to a foreign country to live amongst Gentiles. And throughout the book of Daniel, we will see how God used him over and over. He's interpreting dreams. He's speaking truth. He's in rule. He is faithful with little and blessed with much. But I said to you, he started out as a teenager. In chapter 6, when we arrive at the story this morning, he is about 80. Anywhere late 70s, early 80s. So he had basically spent his entire life amongst a group of people that he did not choose, doing something that was appointed to him, and being faithful over the course of those years. And one reason why I want to point out that timeline a little bit to you is very often in our modern culture, we depict the story of Daniel in the lion's den as if he's a young boy. You'll see pictures of that. In fact, if you pulled it up right now, don't do it though. If you Google image Daniel in the lion's den, it probably has some young guy like he was on a safari fighting lions. That's a very inaccurate picture of what took place. Okay? So a little bit older gentleman now in this story. So as I read chapter 6 to you, remember, he's been in captivity, so to speak, the majority of his life in a country he did not want to be in, doing something he didn't ask to do. Okay? So chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius, who was the king at that time, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. And over them were three high officials, of whom Daniel was one. One of three, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had been where he had windows in his upper chamber, and he opened them toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day, and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of the Lord's, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him. And slept fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, the servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I have been found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found in him, because he had trusted in God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. Make a decree that in all the royal dominion people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So we see the account read verbatim there of Daniel dealing with these individuals. in a life situation that he did not look for, ask for, nor want. So as we look through this, as we continue this journey, as we desire to be fully devoted followers of Christ and asking ourselves, how do we become all that God has intended us to be? I think one of the things that we need to ask ourselves is, are my values and God's values one and the same? What are some things that God really values for us or in us or through us? What are the things that God would teach us on this journey? And I just want to look at a few things this morning. And as we look at the story of Daniel, the first one would be simply this. God showed His value for Daniel, as He shows for us, that number one would be, oh, here it is, that you being His child. It says in verse 3, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. You, His child, take inventory of all that God has placed in you to do through you, and realizing that His value in you is unlimited. There's no boundary to how much He values you. That He placed upon Daniel exceptional qualities that He was going to use in Daniel's life to ultimately glorify Himself. So as you think about your life, as you think about what God values, you as His child, that there's a personal relationship there that you have through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I know you know that. But tomorrow when Mondays hit, are you realizing all the exceptional qualities that God has placed in you, that God has placed before you? Because when you view yourself, do you view yourself with exceptional qualities? Or is your self-talk more poor, pitiful me? Realizing that Daniel was all human, just like we're all human. And then he was in a place he really didn't want to be, doing something he really didn't want to do. But God had placed him there for a purpose greater than himself. Embrace that today. That God has placed you here, wherever you might go from here, for a purpose greater than yourself. So our value system today as we go on this journey is, are you valuing yourself as a child of God? Are you seeing yourself honestly as He sees you, truthfully, as what you are becoming? That you are not stuck like you think you are. That you're not in one place just treading water like you might think you are. That God has placed it upon you exceptional qualities to impact the world that we live in. The second one is this. Pay close attention since you can't read it right now. Holiness as part of your spiritual growth. Did you hear what I just said? Holiness as part of your spiritual growth. It says in verse 4 and 5, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man unless it has something to do with the law of his God. You know what? He was above reproach. David valued the wholeness to be holy because God worked in him to have a holiness in the journey. It would have been so easy, so very easy, for Daniel to have had a pity party and said, God, look what you've done to me. God, you can't use me in a foreign land. God, you can't. God, you won't. God, you will not. But Daniel embraces where he is. And as part of that is on our spiritual growth, realizing that as we go along, are we really becoming more and more Christ-like? Or have we decided to dig our heels in and say, well, God, I don't know what else you're doing in my life. God, I don't hear your voice. God, I don't hear you speaking. God, I don't know where you're moving. So I'm just going to stay right where I am and not become more Christ-like on a day-to-day basis by investing in the things of God. Holiness is part of our growth. Our spiritual growth, I think, is something that sometimes gets kind of shoved to the side when we're kind of reminded of it, instead of putting it to the forefront and realizing something that very often for all of us, the people that know us very well, they know all the dents and the dings and all that kind of stuff. But that should never allow us to stay in that place. We should be moving more forward in this journey to be more Christ-like. That holiness is the standard. That Christ came and sits at the right hand of the Father for us to be holy as He is holy, as it says in the New Testament, And it says it more than once. It says in the Old Testament. It says in the New Testament. That is the standard. Holiness is part of our spiritual growth. When's the last time you prayed to be holy as He is holy? When's the last time you said, God, renew my mind with holy thoughts? God, may my body be used in holy ways. God, may my tongue and my mouth be used in holy ways. God, may every ounce of my being be used in holy ways. And ultimately, the experience, the intimacy, the closeness of God in our lives. But holiness is part of our spiritual growth, is I believe something that God greatly values in our lives, to see us moving along to be just like Jesus. Number three, seeing Himself glorified in the struggle. I love what it says in verse 10. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God as he had done before. I love the way it starts out with, he began with a thankful heart. Because as his routine had become, the only thing at this point he knew to do is to do what he'd already been doing. That he had started with God in all things, and that in this struggle he acknowledged that, God, I'm going to give you thanks because you're with me. And one of the reasons he would go up and open his windows, he would go open it towards Jerusalem. He was a long ways away from home. I mean, he's a long ways away from home, okay? And he would acknowledge this struggle, but by putting God in his proper place, that, God, ultimately I'm here for what? For the glorification of you. I believe God values us seeing him in our, or thanking him in our struggle, of putting him and glorifying him in our struggle. No matter what the world says, are we still willing to acknowledge that he is sovereign, that he is in charge, and he is over all, and we're going to have a thankful, grateful heart and attitude. Think about the people around you. Think about your last week, work, life, whatever. When something didn't go your way, what was your initial reaction? What was your initial thought? What were the words you didn't say that you would like to say, but there was somebody present, so you waited till later on to say them, or at least you thought them? Or what was your body language communicating when something didn't go the way you wanted it to go? I want you to think about that, because again, God is not stagnant. God is moving us to be everything He intends for us to be. And while He is patient and He is full of love and He is slow to anger and abounding love, He's going to keep at us for us to be all that He wants us to be. He's going to keep at us. So God desires, one of His values is seeing Himself glorified in the struggle. The next one is being accountable to Him. Being accountable, it says in verse 11, the very next thing after I just read to you. These men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Now, ultimately, He's the one that we stand before, correct? So therefore, because ultimately He's the one we stand before, we need to remember that we will give an account. And by the way, all these other dudes, they were lying. Because when they went to King Darius and they said, hey, you know what, we all got together and we said, this is a great idea that we're going to make this rule, this injunction to where we worship you for 30 days. That wasn't true. They didn't consult Daniel. They didn't ask Daniel. So see, they led with a lie. Daniel led with the truth in face of adversity and a lie. Because one of the big deals I think is more accountable to him is this. How often in our lives do we stand close to the edge of truth, but we're afraid that if we walk in truth, that we may not actually be living truth? So as we think of ourselves being accountable to Him today, understanding that that's who we're living to glorify, to honor, but He is holding us accountable. As a matter of fact, there might be I would encourage you to think about this on a regular basis. Do you take inventory of your life on a regular basis? Do you take time to allow God to show you where that you need to spend some time repenting, spend some time renewing, spend some time saying, you know what, God, I wasn't allowing me to be held accountable to you. I was allowing me to be held accountable to my standard. Instead of being held accountable to His standard. But when these men went as a group and they found Daniel praying, he immediately began to ask God for help. First of all, he was physically greatly outnumbered. Okay? We know there was well over 100, and there was Daniel. And one of the interesting things I think would be curious about this story is, we do not see Daniel in this story. We never see Daniel talk to King Darius about the other people. He only talks to God. He only talks to God in this story. Not one time do we see in this story where Daniel went to King Darius and said, "You know what? These guys have got it all wrong. They're trying to trick me. I'm a victim." He immediately goes back to that which foundation that he had established years and years and years ago. As a matter of fact, Daniel had established this foundation before he ever left Jerusalem. He had a foundation that was solid. His faith and foundation was upon an immovable rock we call God the Father. Today we say Jesus the Christ. But he was accountable to him. But I want to point that out to you as you walk through this, as you think about your own journeys, you think about your own values, and as we see God impressing upon us this morning values that he desires, how often do we feel like our first step is I got to say, I got to do, instead of saying, I'm going to go to God first and see what he has to say and what he wants to do. We are accountable to him. The next one, that you and I acknowledge his sovereignty over all areas of our lives. All areas. It says in verse 16, the king, which by the way, I remind you, he was greatly troubled. He had great respect for Daniel. I believe Daniel's reputation well preceded Darius showing up on the scene because he had interpreted impossible dreams. He had been a faithful servant. So before he shows up on the scene, I believe Daniel had a reputation of following God that was impeccable. Okay? So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and they threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. You acknowledge his sovereignty over all areas of your life." Now, if you were to take inventory this morning and you're really being honest with yourself, and somehow you put the different areas of your life up, whatever that might be, because we can all have different ways. You want to say work, family life. You want to say money for this, money for that, time, resources. However you would do that, okay, according to the way you would do it for your life, can you honestly say this morning that you acknowledge his sovereignty over all areas of your life? Does he have complete access to any and all of you, beginning with your mind? Begin with your thoughts, with your mind and with your heart. Because God didn't stutter when he said, "Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and might." He wasn't stuttering. That was not a suggestion. That wasn't on a good day you do that. That was every day, moment by moment, and allowing God to work that out. So we see Daniel. I believe this scripture is an indication that Daniel had already acknowledged God. "God, you're in control of everything. I will never be a great leader without you, God. God, I'll never be the man of God you need to be without you." So just the next step into this, his course of life, it wasn't something where he said, "I got to cry out to God." He'd already been crying out to God. By the way, just a random thought. What if we stopped this story this morning with he got thrown into the lion's den? End of story. We didn't know the rest of it. This week, as I was reading it over and over, I was like, how would I see this story if all I knew the period of the story was he was thrown in? Didn't know. Would I still see the hand of God upon it? And the reason why I tell you that is this. My point was what? You acknowledge his sovereignty in all areas of your life. You begin acknowledging him before you know the outcome. You place him on his throne properly. You put him first in your life, on all areas of your life, regardless of whatever the outcome might be. Because Daniel really didn't have any control. Daniel had control over one thing, his choice to worship and praise and seek the living God. That's what he had a choice over. That's what he had control over, and that's what he chose to do. So the reason why I tell you that is this. How many times, if you're really being honest with yourself this morning, how many times do you do all these things after you think you have an outcome you like? I like that choice. So anytime you read one of those cool Bible stories, because we could have read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Could have read some other ones in Daniel. They're pretty cool stories. But what if some of these stories stopped before you knew the outcome that we like? Because we all live uncertain lives, but we live it under the sovereignty of a certain God. And we need to acknowledge that probably more than we do at times as we live at this value system of God. So the last one was you acknowledge his sovereignty over all areas of your life. And then the last one, his protection of you. God values protecting you. God values protecting you. It's the last verse of 27 says, this is King Darius speaking, by the way. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. I'll give you a multitude of thoughts on this one. You ready? King Darius, I don't know that he was talking about the physical lions in the den. I think he was really talking more about the lions that were the men and the women and the children that he threw in the lion's den. Because you got to remember something. If he really did throw all those people in there, and I take the Bible literal at this point, then he threw a whole bunch of people down to those lions. A whole bunch. One man went in, one man came out. All those other guys and their families, that was a lot of people. Those lions ate well for a while in the middle of other people witnessing it. And when King Darius sends out this decree, he becomes a worshiper of God by the acknowledgement of God. You see all these things I just listed to you in value? Daniel was walking under the protective covering of God. I don't know that Daniel was all that worried about the outcome. I think Daniel was really concerned about the glory of God. And then for God used Daniel's concern for his reputation to use a pagan king to acknowledge the worshiping of one true living God. Because we see in verse 27, he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. From the power of the lions. You know what that's to me acknowledging? You ready? That God's power supersedes any other power on earth. That God had the power to snatch him. And the reason why I'm just wondering if it was about the animal lions is because all the others apparently were gone after that point. But the physical lions were still there. The human lions were gone. And so Daniel, through this whole course, we see God's values placed in Daniel's life throughout his life, not in just this one story, but throughout the course of his entire life. I'd encourage you to go back and read the entire book of Daniel would probably take you about 20 to 25 minutes to read the whole thing. And it has got some of the coolest stories in the Bible. And it is awesome to see the power and presence of God. To see what he did, not just in Daniel's lives, but in others' lives. But throughout the book, we see God's value of him being worshiped, of him being glorified. And as you see God working in your life, asking yourself, am I glorifying God? Am I honoring God through my life? And I'm going to put some questions up there for you. Probably not, but I'll have them for you as I ask them. But there's one that wasn't going to be on the slideshow. And I want you to really think, I need you to lock in, pay close attention to this one, because I'm telling you right now, we all in this room, no matter our age or gender or where we come from, we are consumed with this thought that does not honor God. I got to get to the next thing. That does not honor God. So there's one more value, I think, that God shows in this story from Daniel. So listen carefully. God values the ordinary moments with you and I. When you think I'm just going through the motions, God says, they're not going through the motions with me because we're in relationship. One of the reasons why I told you early on that Daniel left Israel as a teenager and we find him in chapter 6 about 80 years old is this. Those were full of ordinary moments. Ordinary moments that Daniel placed great value upon his relationship, not allowing circumstances to dictate his value system. It would have been real easy for Daniel to have heard about that command from King Darius and come up with something like this. Well, I'll close the windows so no one can see me. I can go in hiding and do it somewhere else so no one can see me. I don't really have to tell anybody I'm doing this so no one knows about it. But he still did what he had always done to be all that God intended for him to be. So we see these values that God uses in our lives, from acknowledging His sovereignty, to seeing us grow in holiness, to acknowledging His protection over us, to being His child in the way He has gifted us and given us resources and given us abilities for His glory and for His honor. Realizing that no, we are in circumstances of life that so often maybe we didn't ask for, but because we are obedient, we walked into. But God never left him. He'll never leave us and He will not forsake us. In fact, I'll read to you Psalm 147, 10 through 11. His delight is not in the strength of horse, nor His pleasure in the legs of a man. But what does the Lord take pleasure in? In those who fear them, or Him, and those who hope in His steadfast love. What are you clinging to today? What are you really clinging to today? I think often, you know what I really think, using this story's analogy, for me, maybe not for you, but you know what I really think a lot of times when I get into a circumstance I really don't like, using this story, follow me, is this. I hope those lions aren't hungry today. Maybe, just maybe, Darius will change his mind. Maybe, just maybe, if I tell him I'm sorry, that I've been a good steward, a faithful servant, he'll change his mind. Daniel's focus was upon the main thing. And as we go through this journey, as we are being all that God intends for us to be, because we're still here, God hasn't taken us home yet. God, it will impress upon your heart today where there needs to be a shift or a change in your life to join Him in His value system. So let me give you a few questions this morning. How do you show in your life you value your relationship to God? How do you show in your life, how do I show in my life that I actually value my relationship to God? Okay? How would you say that you're placing value upon your relationship to God? How are you placing value upon God Himself today? And what might need you to change today to see your values and God's values become one and the same? Because see, God's always going to stir a lot more than we ever say up here on any given day. Okay? God's going to value us. He's going to love us, and we know that. But what is God really, really stirring? Okay? Is there something you're struggling with today that you just need to unload upon God? All week I've been thinking about this word. You may not think it has anything to do with this message, but I think it has everything to do with it. Some of you this morning, you're struggling greatly with feeling ashamed. It's just the word I got for somebody here today. Somebody here or somebody is struggling with shame. And God wants you to know you don't have to struggle with it anymore. That story would have turned out differently if Daniel had been ashamed of his God. First of all, if Daniel had been ashamed of his God, he would have never wrote a book because he would have been ashamed a long time before that story. And I just want you to think about that today. You know, what does it say Jesus did? He scorned what? The shame. He said, no place in my life. I think some of you today, I think there's somebody in here that needs to say that today. I do. I'm convinced 100%. It's probably a somebody's, not a somebody. So what are we going to do? We're going to replace lies with truth. The truth is you are a child of God. The truth is Jesus died so you wouldn't have to believe the lies of shame. That you can walk in the truth that God has set eternity before you, that He desires to spend eternity with you because He desires greatly to be intimate with you, and that we need to stop listening to the noise, the clutter you might struggle with. We live in a comparison culture. You know who Daniel compared himself to? Nobody. Nobody. He could have said, I've done just as good a job as anybody else. Nobody. I love the fact in chapter 6, Daniel talks to God, and then he kind of mentions something to Darius. Just want you to know, man, I never did anything before him wrong, and I've done anything wrong before you. But the reason why I didn't do anything wrong before you, King Darius, is because I love him more than anything. And the most important thing in my life is to be holy before a holy God. That's the most important thing. People are going to think what they're going to think. In fact, let me give you a little quote as you keep thinking. I may not put it on this one, though. Oh, no, no, no. The world is a very poor critic of my Christianity, but is a very sufficient one of my conduct. I'm going to spend some time praying for you. You have cards, you have envelopes. What is stirring on your heart? What is the burden that needs to be released today? You can go get whoever you want to pray. You can spend time at the altar. Gary's going to come on down and begin to play a little music. But I'm telling you right now that allow God to love on you today. Move out of saying He loves me to embracing Him loving on you and see what happens. I started out this message using that silly analogy when Kathy and I travel, like to Kentucky and all that stuff I already told you. But you know one thing that Kathy, because I hate driving, okay? I hate driving, okay? But you know the thing that Kathy always tells me, it's 600 miles from here to Kentucky. We typically drive it straight through. It takes about, if I'm driving the majority of the time, I'm more like a Regina driver on that long road. I'm going about 8.5 to 9. If Kathy's driving, she's more like a Rick. She's about 10, 10.5. So, but no matter who's driving, I'm hating it. And Kathy tells me this every trip, at least we're together. It's true. She tells me that every trip. At least we're together. And you know what? I usually come back with some, this will surprise you, some sarcastic remark. Shocking, right? My version of encouraging her, I won't tell you what I say. Do you think a lot of people downtown yesterday need to experience the truth of the living God? Do you think a lot of people woke up this morning with a question, something like this? What happened? I think it's time for us as part of the body of the greater church is to wake up and say, God did something. I don't know what happened, but it was awesome. So I'm going to pray for us. Let Him stir on you. Pastors, be down front. Pray with you. Pray for you. Like I said, you can get whoever you want. Father, we don't understand everything about you. But God, I pray that won't hold us back either. Lord, what are we holding back for? Tomorrow's not promised. So we might as well give it everything we've got today. God, the high value you place on us and our relationship with you and the journey that we take with you is unspeakable joy. It is beyond any language on this earth. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Where does there need to be an alignment between us and you personally in our relationship, in our values, who we are right now, who you desire us to become? The altar's open. You can bring your cards and envelopes at any time you'd like to. There's a basket at the back also. Anytime you'd like to bring them, get somebody to pray with. Just have some God time. You know, the thing I think about these prayer cards every week is this, is I know some of you leave here or during the week you think about, I wish I had somebody praying. And some of you do a pretty good job about contacting one of us to pray for you, and good job. But some of you choose to just walk through the week kind of just hoping somebody's praying for you when you can know without a doubt that someone's praying for you. So you can call us, text us, whatever you need to do. We still get this thing called email, okay? This group over here doesn't know what email is too much, but email a little bit, okay? So as I get ready to pray for us, just going to send you out like we usually do, praying that you would be experiencing the presence and the power of God. Jim asked us to be praying for his brother Billy this week, so we want to honor that. Let's pray. Father, may you be glorified in what we say and do. God, we acknowledge first and foremost, we do have an enemy, but we acknowledge you're sovereign over that enemy. We walk under the covering of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of our lives. I pray we'll give no place to the enemy's thoughts, schemes, or plans in our lives, that we'll rebuke that, and that, God, we will glorify and honor you this whole entire week. And we do pray for Billy right now. May he feel the presence of God in his life wherever he might be. We bless you. Thank you for loving us. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.